Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Podcast mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
I deserve entrance music.
I feel like I've earned it at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, well, I mean, there's music that leads into this podcast, so
yeah, that's
in a way.
That's not it. That's not at all what I meant.
Do you want to provide your own?
Yeah, I'm going to hum it right now. Okay. And if it's bad, we'll just assume I did that already and you cut into it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go. I'm not going to do it. I'm definitely not doing that. I'm sorry, Dave. You really hung me out to dry on my own bit.
All right.
you really hoisted me my own petard there. You really did. Classic Dave.
My apologies.
Dave Jitsu. That's Dave's jujitsu. He lets you die on your own joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my power.
That is your power.
I'm like Seagal, just deflecting, you know,
yes,
without getting up.
You know,
that martial arts that conveniently lets you be lazy.
Slowly growing a ponytail, too, which I appreciate.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Hypecast,
woo!
The show where we get hyped about stuff and things.
Mm.
I am one of your hosts, David Bell.
And I'm the temporary other of your hosts, Adam Ganser.
Yeah. There's no mystery here. Tom's internet's out.
Yeah.
So that was actually why we just watched was also, he's been having internet issues on and off. So like if I don't know, it might keep delaying us because it happened like twice this week for him. So I don't know, you know, I'm not going to act mystified. This shit happens. It's like, oh, what's happening? Oh, how could this happen? It's like, oh, you mean like the internet?
You could have acted mystified. I would have enjoyed it. Just the performance of it, you know, the theater of Dave being mystified by the internet.
There's no mystery here. The internet sometimes goes out.
Yeah, sure.
And we rely on it.
Sure. Yeah.
To survive.
Yeah. And so that means Tom has not survived.
Right.
If you're looking for the full narrative, that's what it means.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Adam.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
Thank you for being here.
I need more Dave.
You're
in my
getting
life.
It. You're getting your Dave right
That's
now.
True.
Full blast in
full
your face.
Full blast. Full load of Dave. Yeah. Right in the face. That's all I wanted.
Oh, I said thank you, but I'll say thank you again for being on here and being our last minute co-host. And I would like you to plug things that you are currently doing and perhaps want to tell people about.
Yeah, you bet. It's my pleasure and privilege. We are picture locked on a doc that will be out sometime this year. It's a documentary film that I believe we're going to stick with the title Sanibel. So that's going to be, it's essentially about a hurricane that destroyed a seashelling business and like a surrounding community in Florida a couple years ago. And I really, really like it. I was a producer on it. So I have to say that, but I also do say that out of sincerity.
I've seen the trailer. At one point, we're going to have to slap that thing on more hype.
Oh, that'll be fun.
It looks very exciting.
Yeah, I am really pleased with how it came out. And it's pretty much done. So I think that'll be in your hands sometime this year, we hope. There's a new show that I'm doing with Maggie that's a video podcast that I believe will come out in like a month or two. It's called Lynchpins. It's basically on the filmography of David Lynch and his influence. You get to see my stupid face the way Dave is right now.
Woo!
And Maggie's much smarter and better face to balance it out. So nice. not so bad. You'll find that on YouTube in 6 weeks or less.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Video podcast. Isn't that just a talk show?
It basically is a talk show. Yeah. Okay. But you know, people like to listen to podcasts at work. And YouTube is a thing everyone has access to for whatever reason.
Right.
You know? So,
yeah.
And yeah, you know.
That sounds delightful.
Yeah.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah. We had a good time recording the first two that we've done, and we're getting a few more in the can before we release
what it. Can you tell me the first
you
cover?
The first. So we go in order of most narratively comprehensible. You know, so so the first one we talk about is Straight Story.
Okay.
And then, you know, it spirals out of control from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. We're digging it. So
everybody check that out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great idea. That's money in the bank.
Yeah. That's just Lynch money right in my bank.
Lynch money.
Yeah.
You know, David Lynch famously like, you know, a profitable director.
Yeah. Turbo rich.
Yeah.
David Lynch.
Oh fuck, we're gonna get so hyped.
Oh, we're gonna get really, oh man, you don't even know.
Things are happening.
I have like hype nitrous. I'm about to hit it right now. You know,
oh,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hype-tress. I'm about to hit it right now.
But first we have to thank some producers. That's that's the gate we have to walk through to get to Hypeville.
Mm-hmm.
And I will begin by thanking at Nerd Numbers. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you to Zero Charisma.
Thank you.
Thank you to A Bag Full of Bags.
Thank you.
Thank you to Aaron Burser.
Thank you.
Thank you to AJ.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andrew Howe and Andrew McGuire's Awkward Meet Cute.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andrew. Adam Deserves More Hype McGuire.
Wow, thank you, Andrew.
Ooh. Thank you to Asking Seven.
Thank you. Let me get in there, Dave.
You get in there.
I'm going to do that. Thanks to Bob Grenville.
Thank you.
Thanks to Bootler Bootlesson.
Thank you.
Thanks to Brian, who Tom knows.
It's true.
I will never stop thanking that person. Like, yeah. That's just, by the way, that's just Tom in time. That's all that is. It's Time Tom. You know what I mean? It's just him from the past
time
or whatever.
Tom.
Yeah, Time Tom. Thanks to Brockway, loves the meat Millie.
Thank you.
Thanks to Burrito, wants you to drink water, hit the gym, and do the ska because they loves y'all.
Pick it up.
Sure. Pick it up. Thanks to Chester's Prophet.
Thank you.
Thanks to Christopher Robert Sparts Esquire.
Thank you.
And thanks to Dan Hackroyd.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to all of you. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Well, this one dropped yesterday. It's a, I mean, in some circles, I imagine it's a big deal. This is the first trailer. It is for The Crow with one of them Skarsgårds.
Another Skarsgård haunts our dreams.
Billiam, right?
Yeah. How many are there? Have we maxed out on Skarsgårds?
There is, I believe, 9.
There's so many.
There's a lot.
Like, I thought the Baldwins overreached a bit, and boy, was I wrong.
No, Skarsgårds.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yeah, it really is.
So this is from the director of Ghost in the Shell, the one everybody hated, and Snow White and the Huntsman.
Mm.
I never saw Snow White and the Huntsman. I don't think people hated Ghost in the Shell because of the directing. I think it more to do with the casting.
Yeah, I also think live action anime, we've yet to really nail that. I've never seen the one that worked yet.
Yeah, this is all to say this director seems to have like, he's going after things that are like kind of unobtainable. Like Ghost in the Shell is like,
right,
man, what a lofty goal.
Right.
I would argue so is The Crow.
Yeah, I think this is a, I would think really hard before I signed on to do this movie.
Yeah.
You know, like the expectations got to be sky high from crowheads.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Otherwise known as goths.
Yeah. Or or murderinos, I believe, is there.
Yeah. And they've gone, I mean, goths has kind of gone extinct, but like.
Sure.
I mean, and then also you really want to make sure you don't kill your actor. You really want to make sure when you're making The Crow.
That's the number one concern, I think.
Yes.
Keep him alive.
For this movie only.
Yeah.
So a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And that's all to say, like, I was this doesn't look like it's going to be bad necessarily.
No.
But I kind of expected it to be a little more gothy, honestly.
I think that it's impossible to achieve gothy in the climate of movies we've been in over the last few years, because gothy is like a decorative cake on, like, the icing on so many cakes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the fucking The Batman was gothy. Like, so many of these, like, quasi-superhero movies are kind of gothy now. That's the vibe, right?
This is based off a comic book as well. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all, you're right. They're all a little gothy to begin with.
Can I play the one lame card? I mean, I don't know if it's lame, but I kind of felt like it's weird they went with a white guy for this part, given the pedigree. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Why? You know?
I don't know.
That's weird to me.
Like, that is a consideration for sure.
But it's also
the crow in general is like, I don't know, they must not have spent that much money on this, right? Like, this is one where I'm not sure who's going to be into this.
I don't know. I think they're doing the right things other than that, though. Like, I think putting FKA Twigs in the movie is a good move, who I really like. I also, though, am worried now because I just want her to be okay, and this movie doesn't seem like that's going to happen. I'm like, come on, man.
Like, what?
Well, FK like Twigs. Character? Yeah, FK Twigs seems like she's getting typecast as a victim to me in general.
Oh, you know? I see what you mean.
I mean, like, that might just be my limited impression, but I feel like the movie's drawing on that, and I'm like, I don't know if I want that. But I like her. So
yeah,
I have
that
hopes.
Reminds me of Elizabeth Moss.
Right.
I have the same
right.
Where I'm like, men, leave her alone.
Yeah,
like, guys, just leave her the fuck alone.
Let her
Stop
be okay. You
yeah,
know?
Give her a fucking day.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's a combination of typecasting or what with that stuff.
I couldn't say. Really
yeah.
couldn't say.
I think with the Bill Skarsgård, I feel like is like. Kind of hot right now. Like, he's got another thing going on.
I was
gonna
say, what's the other thing?
Or is that another fucking Skarsgård?
That's my
no thing. No, he's doing fucking Boy Kills World, which is another revenge movie. That's the other kind of, he's also doing Nosferatu. Like, he's
Ooh.
Kind of like our yeah, he's kind of our weird guy, you know, where we're like, that's our weird guy, he's doing weird shit.
Anyone who's in an Eggers film, I'm like give him a couple years now. They deserve a few years because, like, I love Robert Eggers.
Absolutely,
think
same.
He's a catapult for interest to me.
Right.
Okay. Well, all
right. I don't want to shit on this movie. It's more like the premise we've done so many times since The Crow came out. You know what I mean? Which is the general revenge. It's, they did something to him, now he's going to do something back. Like, I feel like we've done that so many times. The supernatural element is like, it's fine. It's an added element, but it doesn't feel like it's.
Have you ever played that video game Hellblade?
Hellblade. No,
yeah,
but that sounds like a video game.
Senua's Sacrifice. I feel like I want some of those vibes in this. You know, like right now, I feel like I have, like, this is like the Riddler from the Batman movie, but a little lighter. You know, and it's like, no, I want to go full on pagan imagery here. Like, I want to
go
weird animal heads and, like, go all the way. Right.
I feel, yes, I feel the same way. It's sort of like when they made an Aeon Flux movie and they just sort of made it normal.
Yeah.
And you're like, really? Did you not see the cartoon? Like, the original Crow is like, I don't know. There's just a certain bar it set where it's like, if you're going to remake the Crow, you kind of have to do something a little more. Or like that RoboCop sequel, that's not a bad movie, but it's like, you're remaking RoboCop. Like, you
right.
have to kind of go
it better
above
be
and
awesome.
Beyond.
Well, that's the thing is, like, The Crow has to take its own title back. You know, like,
yeah,
it needs that, you know?
Yeah, I honestly think this is one that's, I mean, they've made sequels to The Crow, but you could make another sequel, I think, which is weird to say. I'm not sure. I guess they might have had that conversation. All you can really do is have someone become the Crow again, I guess.
Is the Crow a Crow a title that gets passed around?
I don't
is
know.
Is it like Highlander?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I never
saw The Crow.
Yeah, I think in the sequels it's the same guy. You never saw The Crow?
No, I wasn't old enough to see it when it came out. And then the sad story about it kind of ruined it for me a bit.
Yeah. I saw it because my sister had it, and then I watched it. And then sure. I knew a lot of goths. So you just sort of,
yeah.
you know, you just see the crow. So he's sort of gone.
Until you get in the door. They ask you, crow? Exactly. And you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're ca-ca, motherfucker.
You become part of their society. Yeah. Yeah right.
Then you like peck beaks at each other, and then you move in. Yeah, I get it.
Right. Yeah, this is one where I'm like, I don't know. I love a world where the crow gets remade and it's popular. I'm just not sure what we're, you know. Again, this looks good. It doesn't look bad.
I'm not ready to throw it away yet. I'm not ready for that.
Right. I'm just not sure why we're doing it.
I'm not ready to let it take over the city either. You know what I mean? Like yeah. it hasn't earned a triumphal entry or anything yet. Like, let's see it some more, right?
Yeah, I mean. It's really that thing where we've seen this work and we've seen it not work. Like, I'm sure there was a time when I heard, you know, they were making a Blade Runner sequel and I was like, that doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah.
Or like another Mad Max. And it's like, that yeah. seems like a bad idea. And then they can prove you wrong. They can prove you wrong.
And both of those movies are fucking awesome still.
Yeah.
All right. Good point, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Let's talk about Atlas.
Atlas.
This is like a... This feels like they did a randomizer,
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
for a movie. They mm-hmm. just like took, they said they like rolled some dice.
Yep.
Because this is Jennifer Lopez yep. as a mech warrior in a movie from the director of San Andreas and Rampage.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where I'll read you the synopsis on IMDb.
It'll be more coherent than this trailer, I guarantee
no.
you. No. Oh, God, no, really?
Well, the synopsis isn't even framed as we're telling a story.
Wow.
The synopsis is. A bleak-sounding future, comma, where an AI soldier has determined that the only way to end war is to end humanity, period. That doesn't even frame it like, you know, like you do a synopsis of like, in a bleak-sounding future, an AI. No, it's a bleak-sounding future where an AI, like yeah. it's like a weird descriptive, and that doesn't tell me shit.
This is a ChatGPT movie. For sure, right?
Kind of feels like it.
It really is. By the way, if there was ever a project where I want Jennifer Lopez to play herself, this is it.
Yeah.
I just want it to be Jennifer Lopez is Jennifer Lopez in the year 2329.
Yeah,
it's like mech suit that I'm like way fucking
that'd
in
be
on
amazing.
That. Amazing, you know.
Instead, she plays the character Atlas.
Atlas, get out of here!
I am.
Get
yeah.
the fuck out of here! No.
It also has Mark Strong and Sterling K. Brown.
I like
so
that.
Like,
sure. Okay.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm going to see this and I'm going to love it. But it's not a smart movie.
God, you're
right?
going to drag me to it. I can already
yeah.
see it. Like, you're going to waste 3 hours of my fucking life. Yeah, but I'm going to have to come over and watch it.
Yeah, you will.
I can already feel it. Oh,
yeah.
It's the worst.
You know what is a mistake, though?
All of this movie is a mistake, Dave. Can we just admit it? Admit it.
I mean, no.
All right, fine.
The title looks like a fucking 90s sci-fi show.
It really
show.
Does, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. By the
I
way,
feel
it,
like...
Oh, go ahead, please, Dave.
Do you think Jennifer Lopez leaves the mech? I feel like this
yes.
whole movie was
yes.
J-Lo. See, I think it was J-Lo. You can do this role, and guess what? You can just sit in this chair, and you can do the whole movie from this chair with a green screen wrapped around you.
That really must appeal to her. I don't know. That's an alarming truth that is not... I can't rule it out immediately, Dave. That concerns
yeah.
me. Also, have you played the game Titanfall? Because it really
no.
just feels like... dude, this is like ripped right from that game. Like
really?
Yes. And to the point where I was like, why didn't you just call it Titanfall? Honestly.
Yeah.
Everything's a video game adaptation right now, which is fine for me.
You didn't get the
me.
Rights.
Fucking from... What? Like, that's
know,
nothing to me. That's nothing to me. They could have done
yeah.
anyway.
Call it Titanfall.
Starring Jennifer just, Lopez.
Yeah.
Titanfall. She'd be excited yeah. about that.
As General Titan. Yeah. Because, again, her name is Atlas. Her first name, Atlas Shepherd. Yeah, that's
Atlas.
Definitely a name.
Atlas Shepherd.
That is so not...
My God.
Like a real... yeah. It, I am kind of bummed because my thought, so it looks like she just crash lands on a fucking on Earth, I guess, and then it's just her in a mech suit fighting.
It looks kind of Die Hard-y, honestly, where she's like stranded, like in the sense that she's stranded in a small location, has got to find a way out against overwhelming odds. Like it's
yep. All she has is a mech
suit. Is a mech suit that talks to her.
Underdog with a mech suit. Yeah. The mech suit appears to be voice activated, which is one of those things where she's like, deploy secondary parachutes. And it's like, by the time you finish saying that, you're going to be Pancake.
Right.
That's why we don't do this. We don't have voice activated.
That's why you hit triangle on the controller. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, so you don't have to say this shit.
Because this gave me an idea for a better movie.
Great.
What if you combine this with that movie 65 and she lands in a mech suit and there's dinosaurs and she's back in time.
Yep.
So she has to like beat up the T-Rex and shit in a mech suit.
When you say better,
that's what I want.
That's not a movie either.
That's a better movie. J-Lo in a mech suit fighting a T-Rex. Half of that is already in this movie.
As long as she is J-Lo. I'm not letting go of that. Like, I want Ben Affleck to call her. I want her to call him and be like, are you coming back? Like, what's the fucking deal,
man? I got the donkeys. Yeah. I got donkeys here. Are you coming back?
I'm hanging out with Damon tonight. Anyway, I'll see you when you get home.
Yeah, we're going to play foosball. I got my new foosball table.
Yeah, he's a foosball guy for sure.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Beyond doubt. Are we ready to move on to this?
I guess.
Fair enough. I think we did it right. I think we did good. I think we're good at this job.
I think we're doing a great job.
Really good job, yeah.
Let's talk about the first Omen.
Sure.
So they got... they got the poster down. I don't know if you've seen the poster, but they did the fucking poster for The Omen, basically the original. That excites me. So we covered the teaser, and this is the trailer. This is from a good director, if I'm not mistaken.
Slightly unique feeling and looking film, in a way that was like, well, that's exciting, visually.
Yeah, if you saw the first teaser for it, it's like an entire sequence in reverse with like a really cool song.
Yeah, that was cool looking. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I think this will be good. It's weird saying that because on paper it's not. I've seen The Omen and all the sequels. How much Omen have you watched?
I've watched no Omen. I've never had any interest in it at all.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Arkasha Stevenson is the director, by the way. And it's her...
Okay.
It's her directorial debut.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You should watch... Obviously, the Gregory Peck one is phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard that.
The sequels are silly as shit.
It is like Birth of the Antichrist stuff, right? Like, isn't that what it is?
Yeah, it's right? The idea of this politician's kid is secretly the Antichrist. And,
right.
And what happens in the first Omen, not this movie, sorry, the original Omen, that's going to kill me, the fact that I can't say the first Omen.
Yeah.
The original Omen is it actually starts in this like hospital/church. There's a name for that. Church hospital.
Yeah, sure.
And they're secretly like, Satanists, and they switch the baby at birth, and so the Antichrist is basically given to this political family, who then rises ranks because Satan's helping, and it's like a really cool biblical horror, because like it's kind of like Final Destination
biblical horror.
I love biblical horror.
I love that you're bothering to use that term, but continue.
Well, that is kind of the term where like. It's straight up like this is the biblical, not biblical because I'm the Catholic or Christian devil. And so it's a really good depiction of the devil because like it's kind of like
creative
Final Destination.
One. Yeah, sure. I get.
Yeah, it's this idea of like it's not end of days. You can't fight the devil. The devil is just a force that does things in the world. Like you can't. Fight it. Well, you can fight it, but you can't fight it in the way people would want to.
Yeah, not like Keanu Reeves would, you know, in Devil's Advocate, right? Like,
yeah, and so it makes it very scary. I don't know. And
okay,
this is all to say that I think this trailer is about that cult at the hospital. I'm pretty sure that's what they're doing. Yeah.
It looks like that. My instant reaction to this. As a person who hasn't watched The Omen, is nothing about this looked original. Not one thing. It all looked recycled.
That's because everything, when The Omen came out, was original, and then everything else copied it, right?
Yeah.
And now this is sort of that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I thought the one thing, the one image that was cool that I was like, oh yeah, okay, was there was like a brand going on in the roof of that woman's mouth.
Yeah.
That so I was like, that's fucking cool.
That's the triple six, baby.
I didn't like pause it to look at it, but that's, you know, okay, cool.
In the original Omen, it's on Damien's head under his hair. And so like, okay, the idea is it's sure, like hidden, the mark of the devil.
The, six, the part six, where six, the, right.
But you are right where like, so there's the part in this trail where the nun lights herself on fire on the roof and says, yeah, it's all for you.
Yeah.
That is straight out of The Omen, the original. A woman, the nanny, hangs herself and says that. So I'm a little worried because it's like, oh, well, we already did that.
I guess
we already
like,
saw that.
To me, and you know, like this is not designed for me, so I'm not. To me, though, I feel like what I want a trailer like this to do is reassure me that there's going to be stuff I haven't seen. That's like, yeah, the number one thing I want. I don't want it to show me that it knows about The Omen. I don't want it to show me that it's super Catholic. Like, I don't care about that. I care about something you haven't seen is going to be in this movie. Right?
Yeah, and like I said, there's a lot of stuff that you have seen in,
right,
The Omen, at least.
Right.
Like the woman sacrificing herself in the triple six.
Right.
Not in the roof of the mouth, but yeah, so that is a little worrying. You're right.
It's a heavy burden to loft on a horror film that's also part of a franchise. But a horror film just has to deliver on thrill. It has to. And the only, you know, and new is a big ingredient there.
I think it's that, but also I guess what's promising to me about this movie is a story where that all the Omen sequels, which are again bad.
Right.
Well, sorry, not all, because I think Exorcist 3, Damien is an adult. But like the other ones, they got so caught up on evil child, where they're like,
that's
our thing, Michael Myers, and this one it doesn't seem like it has evil child as much.
Sure, it's more cult.
Yes, which makes sense because also I'm pretty sure Damien's mother is a jackal in The Omen, so I don't know where they're. I assume they're gonna wrangle a jackal in this. I don't know.
It thrills me that you just threw that out there, that fact, and you've called this like it's, you know, it's biblical. This fucking,
yeah, like in the Bible.
This insane thing that's like, what?
What are your thoughts on biblical horror?
In general, it's bad. And usually ignorant.
Of course.
This doesn't, I don't know. It's like when we talk about that, what we're really talking about is like medieval paintings.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like that's what people mean when they say biblical horror. They mean medieval paintings and like you know, comic books based on it. Like, it doesn't feel like anybody knows the source material in any kind of depth, which is fine.
No.
That's
what
fine.
It is. Well, what it is that I think the best horror movies still have rules.
Right.
If they don't have rules, and so biblical horror kind of is a really quick shorthand for here's the rules. It's one of the, like, the new Exorcist movie tried to make it really generic religion, like the religion generic.
Which is dumb.
And it was like, yeah.
No, you got to make it Catholic, man. Yeah,
exactly. It's just like, even if you're making shit up, at least give it like some direction, some rules, something that people can kind of glom onto.
I think
where now it's like a set of cliches now, like biblical style, like horror rules.
Well,
but
again,
it's something.
I think we're actually abstracted enough from that stuff that getting back to the source material would be more interesting. Like, for instance, of course, I come from a religious background. A lot of the Christians I know were like really annoyed with the movie Noah, which is not a horror film, but Noah is
kind
that,
of is
it is a little bit, yes, I agree. Yeah. Noah is actually an incredibly well-researched biblical story. Like, it's very interpretive and fantastic, but it knows the story really well, and I thought that made it so like, oh well, that's a really interesting idea for a movie.
Yeah,
like, good job.
I thought Noah was really cool.
Yeah,
I liked little things like what the sky looked like.
Yeah,
stuff like that where it's like,
I liked the rock monsters. I did.
Yeah.
I thought they were interesting.
I liked that there were a bunch of like animals that you don't recognize.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, they're not making it on the boat. Those fucking animals are doomed.
I know how that goes. Yeah, exactly.
I wanted like a really dumb, like talking one. It's like, hey, Noah, how's it going?
What you building, Noah?
Yeah.
Can I get on there? Yeah, exactly.
No.
I don't have space for you.
Yeah.
Get out of your guard, Mark. Or whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of bullshit, you want to talk about this next one?
Oh, so bad.
The wonderful story of Henry Sugar and three more.
Okay. All right. You know what, man?
Wesley Anderson.
I fucking had it. I've had it. Just make plays. Just make local theater plays. I've had it. I fucking had it. Now we have we have people reading the action lines to us. Like,
is
enough.
That in this?
Yes. Okay, people are reading the action lines.
Did you see Asteroid City?
No. I saw 15 minutes of it on a plane, and I was like, I'd rather stare at the back of this fucking chair than watch the rest of this. And that's what I did.
I am so happy that you're here to talk
about this with me. I'm so fucking sick of it. Like, it's just so much style with nothing to say in such a long time.
I watched Asteroid City on a plane as well.
Great.
Because that was, you know, I was, that, but I was also on mushrooms. And I was.
But it was fine. Yeah.
No.
No, still bad? Wow.
By the end, I was, well, look, I like the pretty colors.
Yeah, it's real pretty.
All right. So, like, for me, Wes Anderson, like, he has varying degrees of dryness.
Agreed.
And Asteroid City is as dry as it gets.
Yep.
Where, like, they just, it's one of those things where it's like, there's not a single character that sets itself out from the rest because they're all saying their lines the exact same way. That it's like, it's like you're daring me to try to like this.
Right. You're not fucking Robert Altman. You know what I mean? Like, Robert Altman makes good movies that are interesting because of tension.
Right. That's the thing is, like, it's, we've talked about this a million times where, like, speaking of The Omen, that was directed by Richard Donner, who made The Goonies, who's a chameleon. He makes movies the way you need the movie to be made. Whereas Wes Anderson has, I feel this way with Tarantino, a few others, where he's just like, look at me, look at what I'm doing. And I'm like, yeah, you're distracting me now. Like, I don't care about the characters or the story because you're just throwing so much fucking bullshit at me. And Asteroid City felt like it had kind of started spilling over.
I enjoyed, to a degree, The French Dispatch. I thought Grand Budapest Hotel was maximum Wes Anderson, and it was wonderful. Like, I love that film.
Yeah, I like that one.
I love that film. I thought, this is the most of him that I would want, and it was great. And I'm sure he's going to make another one like that. I get
it. Obviously, Life Aquatic, like this. Yeah, sure. He's made amazing films.
He has five films I really, really like.
Yeah.
That's a lot of films to really, really like. Like, I don't hate this guy.
He needs a little more restraint. It feels like he's kind of off the leash now.
He needs to stop doing clever fucking, like, clever delivery of a story and just do the story.
Right, because he has some really, that's the thing is what makes him so good, right, is that you feel like you're in this kind of cartoonish world, and then there's these really grounded moments where you really feel for the characters.
Absolutely.
This is all to say that I actually have high hopes for this one because I did not get Asteroid City vibes from this. It felt less dry to me. It felt like there was a little more, there was a little more silliness in the characters.
Sure, it's a little sillier in that they have people looking at camera and reading the screenplay to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's irritating, man.
That's insane. We don't need that. Like, we don't need it. I don't know. I'm sure I'm sounding like a fucking
monster.
Someone's
going to need it.
He needs it. I mean, I'm going to watch it too, so who am I kidding? I've never not seen his movie, but I really think it's like, no, care about the story. Like, you know, care about it.
I'm getting there. I'm getting to that point where I'm like actually, I'm not actually sure I've seen The French Dispatch. I think I was thinking of the hotel one. Like, I'm starting to slowly fade out of these, which is fine, you know? Like, I'm not required by law to watch these yet.
Not yet. No, they haven't yet passed the legislation. Mm-hmm. Make Dave Twee. No film. There's so few filmmakers that have one film of the caliber of Royal Tenenbaums or Rushmore, you know, like, or you know, pick your other favorites. He's got many. So, like, again, the guy is a master, but boy, oh boy, you know, like, it's like, do I want to watch The Film Critic by Tarantino? Like, are you excited about The Critic? Dave, are you ready
for that? Is
that
Tarantino's next one?
His next one's about a movie.
I've kind of had it with Tarantino too. Well, like, it again, it's that thing where it's sort of like when they choose a thing and they're like, I'm going to commit to this thing. It's like, well, your thing's going to get old, right? Like,
eventually,
people are going to get, and like, I don't know, they're pretty I guess, lucky that their thing didn't get old for most people. Like, for most people, they're still into it. But, like, I don't know. For me, I just, it's sort of, I'm fading out. Yeah, I don't think I saw that was his last one, Tarantino's The Once Upon a Time in Hollywood,
and that was like 4 years ago.
Yeah, I saw it once in theaters, and I haven't thought about it again. You
agreed.
Know?
That's exactly what I did. I watched it once, and I was like, "That was okay." You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that this is another argument for why guys like Scorsese and Spielberg are really important, because they really do seem like they're driven by whatever story they want to tell.
Yeah, they understand the assignment.
And they never, ever, ever feel like they have to make a movie that's the movie people expect from them. Which means sometimes they make movies that aren't great. You know?
Right. But they still are trying to make... Zemeckis is another one. I just watched What Lies
Zemeckis.
Beneath.
Yeah, that's
and,
not bad.
And it's yeah, he's making movie. A Hitchcock film. Yeah. And it's like, there's still hints of Zemeckis, but he's trying to be a thing. Yeah, the one I'm sure I've said before on this podcast, Hateful Eight was one that, like...
Yep, didn't like that.
No, I didn't like it because I think what Tarantino does is he like, gloms onto something. And, like, I've talked about this before, definitely, where, like, you can see how his films kind of connect.
Yes.
Meaning that, like, there's always, like, little leftover pieces. You know, mm-hmm, he'll make mm-hmm. Reservoir Dogs, mm-hmm. and he's like, I'm not done making, like, cool guys in suits. And so he makes another cool guy in suit movie, and they all kind of bleed that way, where it's like you can tell what he's, like, particularly interested in. And, like, Hateful Eight, it just felt like he wanted to make a David Lean movie. He was like, you know, people don't do intermissions anymore. But he didn't tell an epic. He didn't do, like, an epic.
It's the smallest long movie ever.
Yeah, and so it's like, why are you like, 70 millimeter, go, you got to see it. And it's like, why? It's in a cabin. Like, this is not, you didn't film the story you wrote.
I'm going to come back to this point you're making, Dave, because I want to put it on a place I think you're going to deeply disagree with me about.
Ooh, can we talk about this next thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Franklin.
Yeah, honestly, Dave.
Honestly.
I think if you add about 50% more sex, I think this is going to be great.
Yeah. Here's my controversial opinion about Franklin.
Yeah.
It's fucking Michael Douglas as Franklin.
Right. Right.
I think first of all, fill him out a little bit. You got to fill him out. You got to make him
a little bit
of a chub.
Yeah.
I actually forgot. Like, watching it, I was like, wait, which one's Franklin? I was like, wait, the fuck beast? He's playing the fuck... I get it. Michael Douglas is a fuck beast. Don't get me wrong.
So he better be doing that. We better be basic instincting this life, or we're doing.
They have some brief fuck beast moments.
They put two of them in, and they put words in there that made you think, okay, you do know who you cast, right? So that better be what it is.
I need Paul Giamatti in this as John Adams.
100%.
The John Adams verse.
That's exactly how I felt. Guess what?
Yeah, the writer of Franklin?
Yeah.
Guess what else he wrote?
John Adams.
Yeah.
Great.
So he's just like a history pervert. So there's no reason why he couldn't put fucking Paul Giamatti in this.
I mean, it would invite us to feel the pain of Tom Wilkinson's passing, because he played Ben Franklin in that, and he was great.
He really did.
Yeah, he was great in it.
But, like, give us the universe, the cinematic universe.
I think John Adams is criminally underrated at this point.
That's great.
Even though it has those stupid-ass Dutch shots in it that I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh, my God. Thank you. Sorry, I brought those up, too, and Abe gets really mad when I bring up the Dutch angle shots.
He doesn't want to take it from you. That's what it is. He's like, you know what, Dave? You don't get to throw the Dutch in my face. You know, you don't get that, Dave.
The Dutch angles took me out of the series.
They're very distracting. Yes.
Yeah, because to me, that's like a 90s music video. And I'm like, why are we doing these Dutch angles?
I like the reckless feeling of them. I don't like them when there's no underlying narrative purpose to them at all. That bothers me. Anyway, we're not here to hear Adam's theory on Dutch angles.
We kind of are.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Great.
I have nothing else to say about Franklin other than I'm into it.
As long as it's Franklin fucks, I'm all the way in. If it's not I think it's a pretty narrow period of his life to cover for a series.
Yeah, we better see him sit on his balls like in
My
John
stones.
Adams.
My stones. That's what
I want. That's what we need.
We need my stones, but Michael Douglas saying it.
Let's talk about Parachute because this is a fucking weird ass.
So you're
movie.
skipping the one that I, The Heat of the Hunter, which is fine.
Oh shit!
We can skip.
I'm sorry
it.
That. Did you have something to say about it?
I was just gonna. All I wanted to say about that is I hope that it is based in reality. I hope that movie is not like just sort of what appears to be like some African country, but CIA spy stuff. Like, I hope it's based on a true story because it looks awesome and it has for that.
I'm sorry I took that out because what was funny is I was trying to cut things down for time and I was like, this looks good. I have nothing else to say.
That's all
it.
That was my only thing was I just hope it's a true-ish story.
Yeah.
And not just a bunch of schlock, you know?
Me too.
Anyway.
Me too.
Looks cool.
And I'm trying to find it again. It's also on Netflix, so I was like, they'll be fine. It's based off a book. I don't know if that does anything.
Yeah,
it's a spy thriller.
It was
so.
Yeah, and I want it to be based in reality because I think that'll be more interesting than a spy novel. But we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
Now Parachute.
Parachute.
Dave Bautista.
First of all, I was all the way in on this movie. And then he showed up, and I was like, now I have to set my calendar, because what? Why is he in it? I don't know, and I need it now.
I love it. Because Dave Bautista, his whole thing is like, I'm an actor. I'm not just a muscle.
Right.
Right? And he's right. He's not wrong. He's a very good actor. But like, obviously, when people are like, all right, we'll cast you as an actor and a muscle man. Like, mm-hmm, you have mm-hmm. to still... Because it's like he's so muscular that you have to write in a reason for that.
Yeah. It's like you can't have Arnold Schwarzenegger be in the movie without him being the product of six people's sperm or whatever.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
This was directed by Brittany Snow, who's an actress, actually. She's been in a lot of things. She was in Pitch Perfect 1 and 2. This is about a woman, young woman recovering from an eating disorder at a rehab. And she meets a guy, and it's one of those movies that's like, okay, this is a very quirky love story, but I don't hate it. Does that make sense? You know, where I'm like, this isn't Garden State. I'm not going to be driven nuts by this.
No, it seems like it's about codependence, and it seems like it's actually pretty raw to me. Like, it's got a little quirkiness to it, but it seemed pretty raw and like pretty well, like it's made by somebody who seems to understand it, or I would hope.
Yeah,
that was what was appealing about it. It was like, wow, this feels like a really authentic look into this story that's not in any way trying to be melodramatic. It's trying to be stylish and tell the feelings as they are. And I thought that was exciting.
Yeah. Joel McHale's in it.
Yeah, I love him,
which
dude.
Is another one where I'm like, what are you doing in here with Dave Bautista?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, I'm in on that.
It feels like a movie that it was probably fairly indie and they were like, can we get some names in here too? And one of them's like, I have Dave Bautista. And they're like, yeah, like, get him in here.
Yeah,
I don't
fast
know how.
Track it. Yeah, fast yeah. track that. Yeah, okay, sure. That's honestly, that's it for me on that.
Yeah, that's all to say. Parachute looks really good. And the cast is baffling. And I don't know. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
We can move on to Sing Sing.
Dude. Sing Sing.
Great name. Great name what this is.
Sure. Look, I have the ultimate cooler take on this, right? Which is just enough movies about the arts. Enough. I don't want to hear it. This movie is the best version of a movie about the arts, in theory. But like, dude, it's just the power of theater, and it's the power
sing,
of theater.
Sing. It's
and
a prison, and you sing, sing.
It's dude,
Adam.
Dude, it's so lame.
Did you watch Theater Camp?
No.
That I watched after Asteroid City.
Probably
much
better. Yeah.
Yes. I highly recommend Theater Camp. If that is, to me, the last story that needed to be told about the arts.
Right. It's like, they're always so self-important. I appreciate the framing device of these men need something meaningful in prison. I get that. I see that that's valuable. But boy, oh boy, it just becomes a self-congratulatory thing, and I just don't dig that.
I don't know if this is based off a true story. If it's based off a true story, I'll be a little more into it. It's based on a play, actually. So for people who are wondering what it's about, It's about a prisoner starting a theater troupe in prison, which I have to say is probably the bravest thing a person in prison could do.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, folks, who wants to do improv? Like, that's a stabbing right there. I would stab that person.
Here's my yes and, motherfucker.
Yeah. Let's do warm-up exercises.
A sharp toothbrush is my contribution.
But, yeah, that's the premise. And I don't know. I think it's a very good version. But I get what you're saying, which is like, you know, we love patting ourselves on the back about this stuff.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, it's just like The Artist was a pretty good movie. It wasn't a bad movie.
I did not see The Artist.
It was fine. It's fine.
Oh, wait, I did. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's
fine. I'm worried that this is going to be another fine movie. It's not that they've never made great movies with the arts. They have, but it's really difficult for somebody in the arts to be objective about it, you know?
I think this is a good way of doing it, though, because they're not...
Sure, me too. I agree
think this isn't like the magic of the arts so much as like art as a rehabilitation and as a way to like have people who have problems like express themselves. Like, you could make this same movie about D&D, which is another thing that happens in prison a lot.
And I
which,
would
when you think about it,
hate it more. But yes, I understand. You could do that.
Yeah, and it's good for rehabilitation. Like, I get it. So like, I am kind of curious about this. Like, this is kind of a where I'm like, you know, like I see that it's kind of schlocky, and I'm like, yeah, I'm still into it.
It's also, as a premise, it's not the worst thing. Like, I have a friend who just released a movie called Hard Miles, that, if I remember correctly, because I saw it a while ago, essentially is at a boys' correctional facility, or like, yeah, I think it's a boys' correctional facility.
I thought it was going to be about a porn star named Hard Miles.
Can you imagine? Yeah. High-fiving each other across town is what you and I'd be doing. Anyway, the premise is this guy sort of manages to get this group of somewhat troubled kids out on the trail biking, right? And they sort of discover their value biking and stuff, right? And and so on a beat level, I'm betting it's not that dissimilar from this, but the premise allows us to go outside the correctional facility and like see the world and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's the idea, you know? Anyway, go see Hard Miles. It's by my friend
Hard Miles,
Daniel Hanna, who's a great director. I really like him.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah. Yeah.
And, if you're a porn star, Hard Miles.
Yeah, Hard Miles. Yeah. Free. Yeah. Right up there.
I need to talk about this next one really bad.
Yeah, I know.
Strictly Confidential.
Oh, okay, so you cut another one that I was...
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, no, don't apologize, because I was really furious at this one, so I can move on.
Okay. I had nothing to say about that
one.
Yeah,
it was Ronja the Robber is the name of it, right?
Damn it, I was going to say we won't even speak its name.
Sorry.
It's like Swedish. It's like some fucking... I cut the ones where it's like, yeah, Netflix got it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. They snuck in hobbits at the end was basically the only thing I wrote down. Like, they fucking snuck in hobbits. Like,
yeah,
really bad. Anyway. Continue.
No, but what I did keep was Strictly Confidential.
Yes. Oh, man. Oh, yes.
I have to
movie.
Note something. Yeah, this is a sexy British thriller. These Brits are fucking and killing.
It's, dude.
It looks like a Lifetime original.
You know what it looks like it should be? A fucking reality show.
Yeah.
Think about that. If this idea was a reality show, we would all be fucking watching it. It would be incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like one, you know?
Yeah, so the big draw, I want to drop something real fucked up on you here.
Right,
so the big draw is Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah,
from,
yeah.
You know, Bedazzled and others.
Yeah,
she's
Austin
sexy.
Powers.
Yeah, she's extremely sexy, and she's doing sexy stuff in this. Like, there's like...
She really is, yeah.
She's being seduced by a lady, right, in one scene. And so this is a sexy thriller that is written and directed by Damien Hurley, her son.
What?
This is written and directed by Elizabeth Hurley's son, according to IMDb, that is a sexy thriller with his mother in it.
Dude.
And that's either the most healthy or least healthy relationship. I'm not sure which.
That's, bro.
I wish them the best.
That's very troubling.
I really like the idea that she just got casted fair and square, like without his involvement, and he showed up on set like, oh, fuck me. Really? Really? Just every scene, he's just like, okay, action, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Like, covering his eyes. Yeah.
Because, like, man, the trailer is unapologetic about her seduction scene, too. Like, it goes back
this
to
is
it
sexy.
A few times.
This is borderline porn. Like, it feels like it's kind of shot like a porn. Like, the production value isn't amazing.
It did not feel in any way encumbered in showing the fucking the sex here. It did not feel like that. Wow.
It's a it's rated R for some sexual content, language, and bloody images. So maybe it's less sexy than it's letting on.
It probably is basically what we saw. You know what I mean? Like
right.
and like one more sex scene. Like, they probably put it all in the trailer, honestly. But boy, I would not want to be the director that day.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No. It's so a bunch of sexy British people are going back to this like sexy island where their friend sexily committed suicide like
definitely.
A year earlier.
They're also all wearing white dresses on the beach and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is going on here? It's crazy.
I don't think she killed herself. I think reveal will be that she's like mind fucking them or something.
That's why
they're all regular fucking each other.
Honest, Dave, I know you don't want to talk about this. It would be an incredible reality show. Like, you bring these people on, they think they're going to win money. Instead, one of them's dead and they have to fucking figure it out.
I don't think you can kill anybody for a reality show. Maybe I'm wrong.
Think you can trick people that they're dead. I think that it has happened.
Oh, okay. Well, I like a reality show where you trick a person that they're dead and everybody pretends not to see them. And you do a whole afterlife thing.
Thrilling
idea.
Thrilling
idea. Beetlejuice them.
Yeah, I love that. I'm way in on that.
Okay, good.
Great. We've solved all of television today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this, I mean, I'm front in line. Front, like, first person. I will be watching Strictly Confidential,
yep.
the sexy crime drama mystery starring Elizabeth Hurley, directed by her child.
That's another movie I know we're going to see. I know
Hell
I'm going to
yeah.
be with you seeing that. I know it.
How could we not? How could you not see
I'm going to have to look at you while it happens.
Yeah.
You're going to be sitting there enjoying it. It's going to be so terrible.
Incredible.
Yeah, it really
Incredible.
Is. That was the highlight, I thought, of this whole slate. Definitely.
This is the best one. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Although the next one, I had on... more hype, and it was like a real little teaser, and so the full thing came out and I wanted to highlight it. This is In Flames.
I thought this was a home run, like just all the way in immediately. There's a lot of cool movies that are sort of doing this structural thing right now that I love, which is at the midpoint of the movie that switches genres a bit, which is what this trailer leads you to believe is going to happen. I love it for this. You know,
the teasers were less like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. I like both movies that it seems to be, and I can see one story that weaves them together. I'm excited about it.
Right. It's not a full on horror film. It's a drama horror.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it takes place in Pakistan. It's a Pakistani Canadian production.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm basing it off of. And it's this young woman who, like, I compared this last time to, I think it's called In the Shadow. It's another one where it's kind of about this culture that's a bit oppressive to women, that it kind
right.
of traps them,
right.
which is, you know, very conducive to horror. And it's about her father dying and her mother and her kind of existing without him while being haunted by him. So that's what you kind of see in the trailer, like... this haunting of this man from afar. And I think it's about just the, you know, these two women trying to survive in this, you know, this particularly oppressive society for them while also being haunted. So I think that's, I think that's an interesting horror premise and drama premise.
I was way in. I really liked it a lot.
It looks really well made.
Looks beautiful. Yeah, I was pretty excited about it, honestly. Excited.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's basing off of like the reviews I've seen and stuff like that. And it's very well reviewed, but I don't know when the fuck it's coming out. I think it did festivals already.
Yeah, I think if you're seeing trailers for it, it's definitely been into festivals, almost certainly.
Yeah, it says May 19th for initial release. But I don't know.
But you
know,
trust that. But I don't.
It's
trust
like
that.
Fucking festivals and shit. So like,
okay.
I just want this. This is gonna be one of those things. It looks like it's playing in limited theaters right now.
So you could, in theory, go see it right now.
Yeah, this will probably just be one of those things that, like, a lot of the more hype ones where it's just like one day it's on streaming and you're just like, oh, there it is.
Well, I look forward to that because I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I should support movies like this in the theater. I need to start doing that.
I try, but sometimes you just can't fucking find it. You know, sometimes it's like a little dinky theater where there's like two showings a day.
and
in Los Angeles.
There's no Sbarro nearby, so what are you going to eat? You know,
what are you going to eat?
Without a Sbarro, you're totally fucked.
Yeah. Oh, God, I want Sbarro right now.
I never saw anybody at a place of that low quality be so versed in what was possible there.
Like, oh, yeah, I know my Sbarros.
You knew Sbarro like a savant.
That big ziti, man.
Yeah.
You get the big ziti. You don't want it too toasted, actually. You don't want it too cooked. You want it a little cold, a little lukewarm. Like, you get it right out of the pan, that big ziti.
Sbarro looks like pizza that got snapped together like it was Legos. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It might even
taste
like
cold.
That, honestly. Yeah. That seems true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked at a Cinemark, and we had very few options when you take your break, and Sbarro is one of them.
Yeah.
So you got to learn.
Is that an Orange Julius? And how many? You can't live on Orange Julius.
There was a Panda Express. There was a Subway.
Yeah.
But like Subway sandwiches, I would argue, are worse than Sbarro.
I think they're right. At the end of the day. About the same. About the same. Did you have an Orange Julius at your?
No.
Okay.
No, we did later. I didn't work there anymore. And I remember seeing it and being like, motherfuckers, where were you? Where were you when I
needed you? The joy I could have had. Yeah, exactly.
The Panda Express had these dumplings that would explode hot oil on your face.
Yeah.
So what I would do is on my break, I would just go watching people.
Like a taste pimple. Yeah.
Watching the people get the hot oil on their face from like afar. It was like a fun little, you know.
And it was better than all the movies I could be seeing at that time.
Yeah. It was like 2003. Yeah.
That's right. There was nothing in the theater in 2003.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Let's see some
Except
oil
Lord
popping.
Rings.
Yeah, for a while. Yeah. Sure. All right. Great.
Should we thank some more producers?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
Big old thank you to Psychic Bigfoot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to David Knife Boot
Knife
Henson.
Boot.
Thank you to Deborah is awesome. Barbara is great and cancer can go to hell.
Thank you.
Thank you to Dracula, the bus driving vampire.
Thank you.
Thank you to Driftless, God Emperor of Hype. Thank you for watching Lair of the White Worm. You're welcome.
Thank you, Driftless.
Thank you to Ed Nug.
Thank you.
Thank you to Exploding Runes.
Thank you.
Thank you to Funky G Mostly Comes Out at Night. Mostly.
Thank you.
Thank you to Heathcliff's Helping Handfuls.
Thank you.
Thank you to Hey Tom. When are we going to get the sequel to Stitches?
Thank you.
He's not here, so I'm going to say soon.
Oh, great. Oh, good.
I mean, I'm lying, but
okay.
Let's go with
yeah, sure.
Soon.
That'll make Tom's life easier at the hands of this patron, no doubt. Okay. Thanks so much to Ombre.
Thank you.
Thanks to ImpossibleWorlds.net, issue 3 is out now. Gorge yourself on our fiction. Gorge.
Thank you.
Thanks to Jay the Crow Baron, says, build a guillotine in rich people's yards 2024.
The Crow.
Thanks to Chris Shanovich.
Thank you.
I fucked that up for sure. Thank you. Thanks to Lieutenant Frank Drebin, Police Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to Look, Ma, I'm on a podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks to Mackenzie, Fuck Shuffling with Willem Dafoe's Confusingly Large Dick, Chill.
It is.
It's been a while since I thanked him. Thank you, Mackenzie, Chill. Thanks to Mercurial Oz.
Thank you.
Thanks to Mike, the Hell Driver.
Hell Diver.
Thanks to Mongolian Throat Skanking.
Thank you.
Wow. I am thankful. My God. my God. The stories
you
tell, Dave.
Yeah. Specifically, I mean, I only got two because one of them will take a minute.
Yeah.
The Oscars happened.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
The Oscars.
Did you have things you wanted to happen that didn't happen?
Everything that was going to happen happened.
Right.
There are things that I would have, like, for example, I'm not as fond of Oppenheimer.
I don't like Oppenheimer. I'm glad we agree on
that. I think there were better best pictures. Barbie I really enjoyed, and I honestly was like, yeah, fuck it, give it to Barbie. Who gives a shit? But like The Holdovers I think deserved more. Killers of the Flower Moon deserved more.
I liked that less on a second watch, but I liked it.
Yeah. Anatomy of the Fall to me is like
great film.
MVP.
Great film.
Yeah, that was my issue with Best Picture, which is like, I don't know how you judge it anymore. And there was a lot of film. The Zone of Interest, fantastic film.
I honestly came all the way around to saying I think it should have been Zone of Interest.
I think objectively, if we're talking about like what is the best movie artistically and
for art, for meaningless, art, for yeah. the art, for the art form of cinema, it should be Zone of Interest. It's
but if we're
yeah, that's
if
all.
We're giving awards to producers and we're just sure. what's a great get, then like yeah, that's a different conversation. But I'm with you on that.
Giving an award for a production, like if that's what the award actually means, then it does belong to Oppenheimer because that was a hell of a production.
Yeah.
Like they were yeah. they did so much work for that. Yeah. And it is gorgeous. You know, it's a lot of meetings. It's a lot of montages of meetings.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It really depends on how you're judging it. I think best directing, I get it. Nolan hadn't won and it's kind of political.
He's gotta get it somewhere, right.
Jonathan Glazer, I really like. Also fucking Anatomy of a Fall.
They could have given
I think
it
she
to
should have gotten it.
Every other person before Nolan and I would have been okay with it, but I don't. But I think Nolan needs to be acknowledged by the Academy because he's that significant to the history of movies at this point.
Yeah,
you know. So
it's hard
know.
Because Adam, I know you've been waiting for this. I saw Poor Things right before the Oscars.
What a movie!
Oof. And so looking at Best Directing, I'm like, man, I like it all.
Yeah,
I like it all. Yeah. I like the directing in every single one of these movies.
Yeah.
I think Poor Things
wild. That's a wild film. Yeah.
I think Poor Things stole a lot of things that would have otherwise gone to Barbie.
Agreed.
Like the technical, the costume makeup, which isn't to say I think Poor Things earned it.
It's a more unhinged. It's a more unhinged movie and more wild at making the same arguments, but
yeah.
I think I'm going to feel like in 5 years, yeah, but somebody had to make Barbie out of Barbie.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't underestimate the fact that we made this out of Barbie. Like,
for
that's
sure.
unbelievable. You
They're
know?
Both very impressive. And I do think probably more people will remember Barbie. Not
yeah,
that that's
definitely.
A test. But I think Poor Things, it's more of just like, Poor Things is such a loud accomplishment. And what I mean by that is like, okay, set design. You look at Barbie and you're like, that's fucking great. But then you look at Poor Things, you're like, all right, I guess it's going to go
like,
to that. Because look at that shit.
What is this fucking craziness?
Yeah.
Like, what
costume? Yeah. Best actress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like
yeah.
Emma Stone earned that shit.
She absolutely did.
I would argue Sandra Hüller fucking killed it
and
in Anatomy of a Fall.
The favorite for that category was Lily Gladstone. And I got to say, when I rewatched Killers of the Flower Moon, it sunk in for me how much pain that woman had to go through for that performance.
Yeah.
Like, man,
but it's a
she
subtler
was
subtler performance.
It's yeah, it's not as bold or challenging to the audience's eye as what Emma Stone did.
Exactly. It's what Emma Stone did is a more, it has so much more flourish where it's like, I'm going to start this way and end this way.
Right.
I'm going to have all these monologues, right. all this stuff where it's like, yeah, I guess you give it like, again, it's a hard year because there were so many good performances. It's just that Poor Things was very loud. And again, I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just it's like a lot more of a, like, it just jumps out at you, those performances.
It's also like, but how often are you going to get like an actress in her prime who's like a legit movie star? Like one of the, you know, like there's only really like, I don't know, 5 to 10 big movie stars at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, like they have eras and Emma Stone's kind of at the prime of her era. A performance like this.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
You know, it just doesn't happen. You know, like like the risk it takes to making choices like she's making is pretty crazy. So anyway. Yeah, I was happy with it.
Yeah, I was happy about Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, best supporting actress.
I like
she
her a lot.
She killed it in that.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and then there's
a few great scenes in that for sure.
Yeah. I think Anatomy of the Fall winning best screenplay. It's like, okay, they got something. Best international, fucking, of course, it's Zone of Interest.
Boy, the misquotations going on from what he
said
in his speech have been wild.
Yeah, that's just people lying.
Yeah.
Like, it's
what are you talking about?
Weird.
You just stopped listening to his sentences. What are you saying?
Right. We can see the video.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah, and the big one that I was like, I'll walk if it doesn't get it, Zone of Interest got best sound, which was like, how could it not?
You were really on one about that, and that warmed my heart.
I was scared.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was scared because I realized when I looked at the nominees, I was like, oh, fuck. If people are dumb, they're going to give it to Oppenheimer, right? Because Oppenheimer is like, It's the poor things for sound. It's a much louder, like, look at our sound, you know? But they Zone of Interest is objectively, and it's nothing against the other ones, but it objectively had the best sound of any fucking movie in the last 10 years.
For creative reasons.
I would say
like in general, like my impression of Academy voters is that they really, really do want to heighten the art form in these lesser awards whenever they can.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the reasons why the big blockbuster films win those awards is because the work they did to achieve that is fucking epic and incredible.
Yeah.
You know, but Zone of Interest is such a slam dunk for the art form of sound in storytelling that I'm glad they got it right.
Yeah, I mean, the Oscars usually are like, at least when I look at the past Oscars, the things that win Best Picture, Best Director, like a lot of times I'm like, I'm really into, but a lot of times it's the things that win like Best Screenplay that I'm like, oh, there's
that's
the film
what I loved.
Rocked.
Yeah. That's the more creative one. Yeah,
that's why last year was so surprising, because Everything Everywhere felt like it was going to be the one that was like kind of bunted to like, yeah, you're the
forgotten
creative. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I also think that Academy voters don't watch all these movies, and the ones they do watch are the ones that sort of rise to the top.
Yeah.
And everybody saw that movie, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was cool.
And I think everybody saw Oppenheimer. I think Nolan is still an event.
Right.
So.
Yeah, this is all to say that there were no surprises and nothing that like pissed me off to such a
that
great extent.
It was fine.
What'd you think of the ceremony?
I didn't watch it because I already knew what was going to happen, and I
you should
not
watch
care for it. Although I did watch the performance by Ryan Gosling later on.
Okay,
which I loved.
Would argue this show stealer. The thing you should watch is when Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito got to present.
It's such a Dave thing.
It's
I did
so
see
good.
That. I did see
it's
it.
So good.
Yeah.
And then Albert Pacino at the end.
Right.
Fun. Yeah.
I think the Gosling number is the one we're going to remember, though, right?
Yeah, I think it's the twins reunion.
No, it isn't.
Twins/man. Batman reunion.
All right.
And then Albert Pacino. Neve Campbell is returning to Scream because they begged her and brought a truck of money to her house.
They realized, what else can we do? We are screwed.
They fired everybody else. They burned so many bridges. I kind of wish she didn't, but
I bet
they just were like, here's all the money in the world.
Here's like $40 million. It's like, well, shit, you know.
It's kind of one of those. This is like when you get fired from a job, this is what you fantasize will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because she got dropped from Scream.
Back. Yeah.
She got dropped from the last one because they wouldn't pay her what she was worth.
Right.
And then they just spiraled and lost their director, their actors.
Yeah.
For being assholes, and then they're like, please, please.
Meanwhile,
and
cut like, to her with a cigar in her mouth while money's being handed into her palm, you know, just,
She's like, all right, I'll accept your offer, but also I'm going to shit in a cup and I'm going to watch
you're
you
gonna
kiss
drink
that
it.
Shit.
You're going to drink it.
And they're like, yeah, we'll get a PA on it immediately.
What are you drinking? Is that tea? Give it to me.
It's not tea anymore.
That's... Yeah, that happened. Why not?
That's a cup of Neve Campbell soup. That's what that is.
Whew. That's home cooking. Definitely.
I'm all set with Scream. Unless they finally do something amazing, I'm done.
I would argue that this decision actually kills the thing they're trying to do, which is reboot the franchise. I think they just proved they can't.
Yeah, I think, I've said this before, my controversial Scream opinion is like, maybe it shouldn't have been tied to the actual, to Neve Campbell. Maybe it should have been different murder mysteries around this, different people putting on the mask, and you don't tie it to Neve Campbell. And then also
you tie
like,
it to movie lore, right?
I kind of think they should have dropped that a little bit too.
Oh, interesting.
Because now they're getting weird and meta upon meta. I think they probably shouldn't have done so many, but if they're going to do so many, the big thing that bothers me is like by Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason was a zombie.
Right.
By Nightmare on Elm Street 6, there was like, I don't know, we've already had Dream Warriors and shit. And so it's like, why you're doing this meta commentary on slashers, but you're not actually doing the thing slasher movies do. Like, put them in space, put them in the hood, do the things that slasher movies do. Like, it's weird that they pretend to be a meta commentary in horror without actually being one. Like, the last Scream, their meta commentary was more on superhero films, and it was like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? Like, you're a horror movie. Do a meta commentary on horror movies.
You know what, Dave? You know what?
What?
Honestly, what if you wrote a horror movie that was a schlocky parody, or not parody, a schlocky meta commentary on just that moment in the franchise, like going to space, going to the hood?
Right.
And you called it whatever, like, you know, Goblin 6 or whatever. Like, you called it like it's the sixth in the franchise. Never existed before.
That would be fun.
Dude, that's a good idea for a movie. I feel like people would be fucking thrilled by that.
Oh, yeah.
And you just did the jokes that exist for that?
Yeah, I don't even know if you'd need, like, a number on it. You could just do, like,
Goblin in space. A Goblin in space.
Yeah.
You just do it. Goblin goes to hell.
Yeah, fuck it. Fuck it. That's what people want.
Honestly, there's a comedy horror film that could exist that I think people be very into for that.
There's this like weird Twilight, right? Where you have, I'll always use Friday the 13th because it's the clearest example, is that you have the first movie and it's like, okay, this is a solid horror movie. It's its own thing.
Yeah.
You get like maybe a sequel out of it that people are like, yeah. I mean, for Friday the 13th, it was even weirder because Jason didn't really exist till the third one.
Right.
Like, not in the form that we know him. And then you have this weird Twilight where they like keep trying to like keep the ball in the air, and then they go, fuck it, let's make it a comedy.
Right. Right.
And what's interesting is that Scream has been trying to not do that for 7 fucking movies. And it's like, no, you're trying too hard to keep it be like Scream. Just, you have to go over the top.
Yeah.
You have to drop it. Stop rebooting it. Stop trying to keep being meta. Stop trying to make it like, oh, this time it's about the bigger thing. None of that. Like, just put the motherfucker in space.
Time to hit that hill and actually start coasting.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You know, you'll get 4 more movies out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to just submit. Submit to your own fucking premise.
I'm telling you, Dave. Goblin 6.
Goblin 6.
Goblin in space.
Yeah. This time.
Space Goblin.
Yeah. It's time, it's space.
It's time, it's space.
That's
all we do is write fucking
tagline.
Fucking, you know, gold. We're printing gold over here, Dave.
We are.
Yeah.
Should we think some more producers?
Yeah, we're going to fund this gold idea.
All right.
Yeah.
Big old thank you to Mr. Tell Your Wife how many Patreon subscriptions you have before you agree to buy a house. Thank you. Thank you to musical guest Henry Garfield.
Still don't know
who that is. Thank you to No One Can Hear You Scream in Space McNulty.
Thank you.
Thank you to Norm from Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you to Pete Vorpagel.
Thank you.
Ooh. Thank you to Numinal Ultra Microscopic Silico Volcanoconiosis Anti-Disestablishmentarianism Jones.
Thank you.
Thank you to pre-order 6 TikTok superstar Jason Parsons' new standalone ticking clock thriller and dark satire called I'm Starting to Worry About This Black Box of Doom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Rev MD.
Thank you.
Thank you to Ricky Cilantro.
Thanks, Ricky.
Thank you to Rosemary's Baby from Eraserhead.
Thank you.
Thank you to Screaming Horse Pyramid.
Thank you.
Thank you to Sorry Cop, World's Most Laughable Centrist.
Thank you. Screaming Horse Pyramid is not enough of my time has been spent on that name. I really like
that.
Oh,
yeah. It's great.
Thanks to Steven.
Thank you.
Thanks to the conveniently placed self-destruct button on the top of every baby's head.
Thank you.
Thanks to the ghost of Dave Thomas.
Thank you.
Thanks to the midnight patron, What Patrons at Midnight.
Thanks.
Thanks to the oatmeal savage.
Thank you.
Thanks to the Tubi Terror Bunny, says the strikes may be over, but egg David Zaslav for fun and profit.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks to these 7 bees.
Thank you.
Thanks to Tiger Drawers, Pratt Thompson sings raindrops keep falling on my head.
Thank you.
Thanks to Tip Drizzle.
Tip.
Thanks to Tux.
Tux.
Thanks to Vincent.
Thank you.
Thanks to Why Don't You Take a Flying Fuck at the Moon?
Thank you.
Sure. And thanks to your mom.
Thanks.
Thanks.
If I forgot to thank someone, it's because my cat, Rue, just jumped on the desk and knocked a bunch of shit
out. Yeah, I was really enjoying how bad Rue was being.
What an asshole.
Yeah, real terrible. I mean, cats in general, though, you know?
Oh, yeah. They're garbage. Yeah, they're garbage animals.
They're bad animals. Real bad.
Mm-hmm. Bad animals.
Real bad at it. Yeah. Don't like them.
Adam.
Yeah, Dave.
Adam.
Dave,
cut the shit.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah, do the thing Tom says to do.
Cut the shit, Adam.
Cut it. Okay, great.
And I want you to cut the shit, and I want you to hear me tell you about a movie that deserves more hype.
Oh, I see. So when I guessed, I don't get either of the fun parts.
All right, you can tell me. Do it to me.
Cut the shit, Dave, and tell me about this movie that deserves more hype.
I will. What's the other fun part?
Cut the shit. That's the fun part. Well, you get to tell. The telling of the movie, Dave.
All right.
Or is this whole thing a fucking charade of bullshit?
I'm so fucking confused. I'm so fucking confused. I want to tell you about Bird Eater.
Yeah.
Great name.
Yeah, a name that thrills David in his dark heart.
It thrills me because you can kind of tell where this name is going based on this. It's in festivals right now. It's playing at the Sydney Film Festival in June, which I don't think is in Sydney, but I might be wrong. I guess it would probably be in Sydney, Australia. I don't know.
I mean, it's a real letdown.
The reason I said it, IMDb listed it as USA dates of where it came out, and then in parentheses, Sydney Film Festival. So I was like, is there a Sydney in America?
Because that would be incredible if it was like some outskirt of Iowa.
Right, or just some guy named Sydney.
Right.
Right. Point is, this. All right, it's only Bird Eater, one word. Look it up. The trailer's 30 seconds. I think it's a delightful idea, which is that it's this couple who seem very codependent. It's not really, it seems like, so the best comparison is it seems like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf if like it was a bunch of people. It's not really a horror movie from what I can tell. This, so she's very codependent with her fiance, who they're going to get married, so she goes along with his bachelor party that turns out to just be his like really fucked up inner circle of friends, and it descends into madness. And it's like, who is this guy that I've been engaged to kind of moment.
Yeah.
It sounds like, so the review here from the Daily Beast, the person reviewing starts by saying they're very sick of the concept of a toxic masculinity horror film. And I understand to an extent where they're coming from, because we've gotten a bunch. We got Men, we got Barbarian, Midsummer to some extent. But this reviewer goes on to say, despite that, they really liked this exploration of it because it apparently says more than those other films, according to this review. It's Australian, so I don't know if that's going to turn you off, you know, if people are shutting off the podcast because of that.
I would say, honestly, all that's happened is toxic masculinity has become a genre of horror.
Yes.
Like that, and I think that's going to be true forever.
It probably was already one. It just was less.
Yeah, maybe it just loud. We didn't know about it. Maybe so much. Yeah,
but I like this premise. I like, because the idea is
codependence,
this group of friends
is an interesting dynamic in a movie. You know.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
And I like the idea that basically, as the group gets more drunk, you start getting infighting, and like it's that idea of like a friends group, right, where they have so much bullshit within them that you, like, someone, an outsider, basically starts learning all these like secrets and horrible things that happened.
Yeah. Right. And to me, the trailer doesn't do justice to what this idea is.
Right.
Like your description of it and this person's write up of it are much more compelling than the trailer.
Yeah. I mean, the trailer is very simple, right? It's 30 seconds and they show like, clearly, like, he's in a gimp mask, and you hear her going, like, I don't think this is such a good idea.
Yeah.
And then it's them, like, plowing through the woods on a truck, and that's it. And you get the vibe of, like, oh, shit's going to go really bad, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it doesn't prove it, I would say, the way a trailer ultimately will have to. But this write-up is exciting.
It is. And it seems like there's a level of restraint in these. Like, there's multiple write-ups here because, like, this other one talks about how, like, it basically, they say they take it right up to the line of snowballing into full-blown horror. And so I think that's interesting. And they say, as drunken rivalry threatens to explode into surrealism. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Like what kind of horror, what kind of surrealism is happen here?
Those words are loaded. Like, if I sound a little reserved, it's because it's a lot of words that sound very exciting, but nothing about
it. You always
sound
a little reserved.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Well, yeah. I wanted this to be good, and I'm convinced that it is definitely possible that it is.
But I also kind of feel like sometimes the right person gets attached to this and then they sort of... They say a bunch of words and then you're like, yeah, but it's kind of, you know, ultimately like not that interesting. And that's also possible here.
Oh, sir. That is the nature of more hype
to me.
It's always a gamble, right? It's just a big swing.
That's true.
And so like, you know, I'm very, very, very curious about this one. It looks very, I don't know. And it's only gotten a couple thousand views.
When are we going to Sydney to watch it?
Oh, God. Soon. I think it's soon. Yeah, June, right?
Great.
Yeah, we'll go there. We'll have an adventure.
That's right.
We'll get killed by kangaroos.
It turns out to be that guy's basement, the guy who's in the movie. It's like his film festival.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His name is Sydney. His name is Sydney. Yeah.
It's like, well, great. Okay.
Yeah, and we're just in this fucking...
Glad we did this.
Let's go get murdered by this guy.
Glad we did it. Bond o'clock.
I'd be glad. Yeah. I want that. I want that for us. Bird Eater, one word.
Incredible name.
Yeah.
A name that I can read again. Like, Dave's like, going to love that.
Yeah, and it's like, that's such a, it just has such a threatening word.
Fucking Bird
it's
Eater. Like, yeah.
Bird Eater. What a terrifying combination of words.
Right. Yeah, nothing poetic nothing joyful about it. Just
There's no cats in this movie, so we can only conclude that the Bird Eater is not going to be an animal. It's going to be one of these dudes, probably.
They're eating a bird. Or my name isn't Adam Ganser. You know what I mean? Like
the fucking penguin in Batman Returns.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eat that penguin.
That's a movie.
Yeah. Oh, that umbrella-wise alone, that movie deserves to be remembered again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's some real umbrella work in that one.
There really is.
Yeah. Also, kind of an underrated Michelle Pfeiffer performance at this point.
She's great.
She's really good in it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Real good.
She's a real, she's Catwoman, man. Yeah. She's great.
I like the crazy scene, like the one where she really loses her mind. I really like that scene.
Yeah. Everybody check out Batman Returns.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Did you know he almost made a third one?
Yeah.
He almost, like, he was like, again, like Nolan, it was like he was going to make a trilogy, and then, like, I guess some shit went down between him and the studio, and they were like, nope. Back to base.
Never make a third one. Yeah. Never make a third one. Yeah. Spider-Man 3 has proven that.
Yeah.
Just to make two and then go, I'm done making these.
Yeah. Although, wasn't No Way Home the third of the current Spider-Man trilogy? That was a good movie.
It was fine. Yeah, I watched it again. It's fine. It's fine. Dave, I'm not going to shit on No Way Home.
I have offered you the most bone right now. Like, I've given you a Marvel
bone?
Yeah, a Marvel movie that you and I both could say we liked, and you no-butted it. You did not yes and it. You're
I'm
like,
sorry,
no,
I didn't know.
I don't like that Marvel movie.
Bone.
Please, when I offer you a bone, Dave, grasp it joyfully.
Yeah,
could
take
you?
Your bone.
Thank you.
Holy shit.
Thank you.
Adam, thank you so much for being on.
Hey, you're my pleasure.
Do you want to plug a thing?
Yeah, I'm happy to remind you all again about my ongoing video game podcast series with Michael Swaim, One Upsmanship, which is available on the Small Beans Patreon. That and many other shows that I am lucky enough to be a part of, like Escape from the Multicurse, that has some Tom in it. Director Peace Theater, that has some Abe in it.
Ooh.
And I'll show you mine if you show me yours. That has some Maggie in it.
Ooh.
And I want to say I do another podcast. Oh, yeah. Abe and I might do a Cowboy Bebop podcast. We're really fucking toying around with it.
You nerds.
Yeah, called See a Space Pod Boy. Can you imagine that? Oh, I'm
do
all
it.
In.
I can imagine it.
Yeah, Abe's reluctant because he's not quite, fully in space with me yet. Yeah, get him the fuck out there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, all that's happening. So enjoy all that shit.
Everybody enjoy that shit.
Enjoy
it's great shit.
It's really good. Put it in your cup and drink it.
Yeah, put that shit in your cup.
Take a sip.
Gulp it down.
Gulp the shit I gave you.
I'm going to tell people about our Patreon real quick. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. GAMEFULLOY. Unemployed. We watch movies every Friday night with our patrons and then other things. We also have, if you go to gamefullyunemployed.com, you can get access to our store where we have like store stuff, merch. Merchandise. It's short for merchandise. Merch, like you would at, like if you were a band,
Yeah.
Or like a thing. Like if you want like a shirt that represents us. That's where you go.
You should
merchandise.
I feel like at this point you guys should have like album covers and shit for like seasons of your Patreon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We should sell some of our fucking album art.
Yeah.
You're right.
Just Dave the album, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be thrilling. Mm-hmm.
We should do a spoken word thing.
Dude,
is that what podcasts are?
I'm grasping your bone right now. I'm grasping it.
Oh, get that bone.
I'm grasping that bone.
All right. Well, say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at thecorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our channel artwork is produced by Michael Vincent Bramley. You can find more of his artwork at instagram.com/mvbramleyart. Our episode artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com. And justinbrown.info.